Hello everybody and welcome to the Sports for Champions podcast. Today I'm joined by Jaden Paddock, Team GB tumbling star. Jaden, nice to have you here.
All right, pleasure to be back.
And he has been working with Sports for Champions for quite a while now, visiting schools, haven't you? If you could just tell us a little bit about how that's been.
I think it's quality. I really do enjoy, obviously, getting to go into the schools, help the kids out, obviously, deliver the assembly and whatnot. And almost just give the perspective that sometimes, obviously, people don't hear. Like, a lot of the time when I do the assemblies, people don't expect that, what I've done in the past, where I've come from, what it leads on to in the future, when I talk about what I want to do after gymnastics. So, I think it just gives you the story, and the kids tend to always love it.
That's brilliant. So we'll go right back to the beginning and then we'll circle back round to Sports for Champions, if that's okay. How did you first get into gymnastics?
So it was almost the very typical bouncing off the sofa, trying to flip myself around, and then mum and dad basically, I was 3 years old, and mum and dad basically went, yeah, try gymnastics, and loved it ever since. I was 5 when I moved to the development squad, so that's when I started to notice like a bit of potential. And then at 7 I made the transfer over to tumbling, because floor was always my best piece and I was falling behind on other aspects of artistic. So it did make more sense to focus everything I've got into the one discipline instead. 7 I moved over to tumbling, met my coach, and that's been doing it ever since.
7 is fairly young to be getting into tumbling specifically, but you were doing gymnastics even before that.
Yeah, 3 years old. 3 years old when I started. So that wasn't obviously like I wasn't doing like any like mad flips at 3 years old. That was obviously being in the gym at that age is like, it's almost just getting used to the equipment, getting used to obviously the atmosphere, because half the time the gyms are massive. It's just sort of developing the love for it, and then you go from there. You're very moldable at that age, so almost you're like a sponge, everything just goes in. So that's why they tend to, gymnastics especially, like 3 and 4 is like the very, like the perfect age to almost get you into it.
And it really is such a physical sport that you do. Do you think that those early years helped with your development, made you more physical, stronger at that age?
No, I think I was just like the average kid, to be honest. Like, I think it was essentially just my mum and dad going, we need to get him onto something. My mum used to do gymnastics when she was younger. My dad did it when he was younger as well. So it was almost like it's been in the family. They've done it, like, and they've enjoyed it. And then it's always one of the options. Never been forced into anything. Like, it's always just, if I wanted to do it, I'll do it. If I don't want to do it, then it's ways I can find something else to do. Because I always did quite a lot as well when I was younger. Not just gymnastics. I was kickboxing until I was, like, 8, 9... 10, and then obviously I've carried on with that now. But then I've always doing stuff even throughout school and everything, so it always ends up coming back to gymnastics. So that's always the main one that I've always done.
And when did you realise that you had that sort of talent for gymnastics, that it was really something you were going to focus into?
I think when it became more of like my decision to go than anything. I think like when you're 7, 8, 9, 10, it's almost like, I mean, you've done it for long enough that you just, it becomes daily routine. You go back from school, you get changed, you go training. And then when I started to like go into, so like the international aspect, or like started making like GB squad, is when it all became like quite serious. Like, oh, this is something that I've got, something I'm good at, something that's been noted that I'm good at. So I think that was almost like a turning point. That's when it was like, oh, I want to go training, not because I have to, because of this is what I choose to do. And like when you get your first taste of like an international competition, you go away, you get the experience, you get the new kit, you get all the sort of stuff, that's almost like the kick in the bum that you need to get yourself going. But yeah, obviously that was the initial part, I think.
And was there any early successes that stand out to you?
My second international competition, which was 2013, it was only a club one, so it wasn't GB. Went over to Belgium as part of a club with two other clubs, and we went over, and it was just a nice competition. It was relatively stress free, but it was my second international. I won that one, and that was very much like these are people that I'll compete against at the World Championships if I make it that year. These are people that I'm going to compete against like for the rest of my life moving up. I think that was like the initial like, oh, this is something I can sort of build upon, and this is something that I want to repeat again.
And was there any sort of steep learning curve moments, any sort of disappointments that you had to overcome?
I've had a few. Yeah, there's been a few. 2015 Worlds, I wouldn't even say it's going to sound so bad, but I think for me it was almost like, I think it was 2015 was the first sort of, I was at Worlds and I finished second, so obviously I'm extremely happy to walk away with the silver, but the way the competition was and the way like everyone else was acting and all that sort of stuff, I thought, I sort of like hyped myself up that after my routine, because obviously the difficulty was a lot higher, I built myself up in my head that like, oh, I've done it. And then it wasn't enough, just a little bit. And then I think at that point I beat myself up over like little execution marks, like taking a little step, little things like this in the air, like little pointed toes, all that sort of, all the little things. And I think I blamed obviously me not winning on stuff like that, and really I was just like, I should have just been happy that I finished in second, and I was, but it was almost like you've been so close, like it's in your grasp, and then you haven't been able to. And then 2017 Worlds, first pass in the prelims, as most prepared I've ever been for a competition at the time, and first pass in the prelims, went up, did my transition in the middle, travelled a little bit too much. Went down the track, took off on the landing area, but didn't actually like realise that I took off on the landing area, just because I just wanted to get myself round. Clocked midair when I was half the height that I should have been, sort of got round, hit my face, and just went slap on the mat. So at that point I was like, there was no chance of like bringing that back. So I went up, did my second pass, finished in 12th in the prelims, which is only like 4 spaces off qualifying. So my second pass was like amazing. It was the best I've ever done it. It was just one of those, it's one of those moments that like the lead up to it, training wise at home was like perfect. I couldn't knock it. Injured my shoulder when I was over there, so I was all taped up. I think just the whole like, obviously getting to the first pass was just like, and then when I did it, it's like, there's nothing I can do other than put my hand up, finish the job, and then crack on. But then obviously one thing I learned from that was make sure my markers are right, give myself a lot of extra room so that never happens again. I don't think I've done anything like that since, other than like little moments of doubt at times. I think it's just one of those, like you learn the lesson very, very quickly from that.
So you said you beat yourself up quite a lot the first time. Mm. Is that something that you dealt with a little better second time around? It sounds like
I think there was the second time around, I think they knew there was nothing I could do. It's like it's one of those ones. It was like I knew my competition was done after my next pass. A little bit of me was almost just ready to just. I was at that point. There's no point in me doing my second pass. But then it was just like, I've come all this way, finish the job, get it done, no matter where I finish. I think I sort of like, if I do this, if I do that, I sort of gave myself a little hope. If I do this, I do that, I can make the finals potentially in eighth. And then just about like sort myself out, get ready for the finals. And then obviously when I landed, it was the reality of like, it was good, but the difficulty wasn't enough to get it round. It's one of those ones that like, you'll beat yourself up at any level, little mistakes, especially when it's like stupid little mistakes that don't normally happen. You do tend to beat yourself up about it. And it's like, as you get older, as you compete more and stuff like that, you do realise it's like, it's one of those things, it does happen. But like when you're younger, that is like, I think the most common thing, I think.
And there's so much speed and momentum generated when you're going down the track. Presumably that leads to injuries over time, or even just impact injuries. Talked about falling on your face there, which can't have been great either. Is injuries something you've dealt with a lot?
Yeah. I think pretty much everyone that's on like the senior team at the moment has had injuries at some point in the life. Quite a few of us are like are constantly like dealing with the same one for years and years. A lot of it's impact. So like the front of my left foot, like I've got like some small damage there, but just that was from just a really steep landing. Tends to be a lot more recently, actually, last year, last world, there was a lot of people with Achilles injuries. You can see like the physios have never been so busy, just not from our country as well, from all the other countries. So there was a lot of, I think a lot of people like after the lockdown and stuff were in such a hurry to get back that like rushed the training and stuff. I was guilty of it. We had a little bit of glimpse of hope, a better competition, Europeans, and everyone needed to be ready for it. So at one point I was training just to get ready for the trial. I really should have been on a rest, and I had to send videos out to submit to a trial because I wasn't going to be there for the weekend of the trial. And my foot was in bits, so I remember just taping up just to get these two videos done and sent off, and then I could have like 2 weeks off without any impact or anything. So I think a lot of people almost did the same thing coming up to Worlds, and yeah, it's a lot of people learn lessons. A lot of people are currently getting treated. I'm sort of just managing everything quite nicely. I have days where like it flares up and it's a little bit worse than others. Most of the time it's manageable. I do use tape, and obviously taping in certain ways relieves certain pressure and stuff, so it's just making sure that I've got obviously full range of movement, but I mean I'm not eligible to roll my ankle or anything like that. And yeah, it's sort of managing those things because I've got a busy year this year, lots coming up, so it's just one of those ones that I've got to deal with. I'm going to have them until I finish anyway.
They do say, you hear professional footballers talk about the fact that you never play 100% fit, and you kind of, if you're looking to be 100% fit, then you're just not going to play because everyone's playing with niggles, basically. Oh, yeah. I imagine it's the same for you guys.
Pretty much. I've been injured since I was younger. Different things. It's one of those ones that you deal with half the time because you're so focused on what you're doing. You don't really think about it until you get home, and then it's normally for me, I'm driving home, I'll be fine, I'll get out my car, I'll sit down, I'll have my dinner, and then it's when I go to stand up and I'm like, oh, my foot's a bit sore, my Achilles are a bit sore. But it's just managing it, and then obviously just knowing your limits. I know exactly how many I can do on a bad day before it gets too bad, so it's just making sure I do like two less than what I can.
So when you get a particularly bad injury, presumably when you're sort of executing your moves, you kind of have to be in sort of a flow state, it looks like, and then I just wonder whether maybe a bit of fear around an injury might kind of take you out of that.
There has been times where I've been very cautious. Like I will go to the competition, and I'll do one of a certain end skill, and that's it. Until it actually gets to the competition day, because I know if I do three of that, because the takeoff's so steep, it's gonna kill, it's gonna really hurt. So it's almost just managing it. Like I said, some days I can do 10, 15 of that skill and I'll be fine. Other days, one or two, and I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
So it is just, like I said, it's just managing it. Like I can't remember the last time I was 100%, and I think everyone else has the same. It's just one of those things that you do have to deal with.
Just generally, it seems like you're so committed, and it has been such a big commitment for you. Is there anything in particular that motivates you to do what you do?
One of my goals since I was younger, I really set this from a young age, was to win one of everything. That's something I've always wanted to do, because I think there's only like two people that have done it. So that's always one that I've wanted to do. Managed to do that as a junior. So every competition I can win as a junior, I've managed to do, which is quality. And now I'm sort of like moved up to senior, so I'm sort of trying to do that as a senior. So that's really like one of the main ones that, obviously I've got World Games coming up, well the trials coming up, only one person goes. So just to make that in itself is brilliant. And then obviously you'll compete against like one best person from each country. So it is just being able, it's just having that in mind, ready for obviously that's what I want to work towards, that's something I want to do, and having that sort of goal in mind, so when I do have like the off sessions, when I do have like the moments, because it's inevitable, everyone has the moments when they're like, oh, like, I'm not sure if this is what I want to do, you have a bad session, you have a bad week, and it does happen. Mine's normally like 2 weeks before a competition. I'll always have like that little bit of like training's not going perfect. Well, my training might be going great, but in my eyes, my training isn't great because I'm not doing everything every single go.
A bit of a wobble.
It's always the case, and my coach is always like, because I've got that confidence in myself now, I know even if I've done my routine once in the past, I know that I can most confidently put my hand up and go, yeah, I'll do it. I've got that like confidence in my ability to do it. And that's really just so I don't doubt myself. I'm not really one to doubt myself, because I just think it plays on my head too much. I'll think about, instead of me going, right, I'm going to do this routine, and if it goes slightly wrong, I'll do that end skill, but that's it, that's all I'm changing. Rather than me going, oh, well, I can do this, I can do that. Because when you're going so quick and you think about all these things, all the possibilities, it all floods your head at once, and then it's like, that's it, you've gone completely foggy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think just having that, reminding myself, one, I want to win one of everything. I want to have that sort of like tally, that just really keeps me going on to the end of it.
And presumably you've also got one eye on possibly becoming an Olympic sport. I know that's kind of in the pipeline. It's been talked about anyway. Mm. Is that something that you think about?
I don't put my hopes on it. Like, that isn't on my list. Obviously, that's something that I would love to do. It isn't on my necessary list because obviously that's something that I can't currently do. But like I said, it has been in the pipeline before, and they are starting to introduce a lot of different sports in. The only issue is with it at the moment, they're saying like there's a lot of gymnastics disciplines already, and if they put tumbling in, they'd put double mini in as well. Mm. Obviously I don't know the logistics of it, I don't know the politics of it, but if that becomes an opportunity that I can do, 100% that's something that I will I'll put everything towards.
So your parents are both interested in gymnastics. They both competed, did you say, earlier? So how do you feel they've pushed you, and how are they proud of you now, or what you've achieved, presumably so?
Yeah, mum and dad will always be proud of me, whether I decide to carry on doing gymnastics or if I pack my bags tomorrow and said that was it. They've always been my number one supporters, obviously, throughout everything. Driving me to and from competitions, to and from training, being my taxi for years. It's been a nightmare, obviously, because of being obviously all over the place over the years. But yeah, I think it's something that they've always had an interest in. I think it just makes it easier for them to like sit and watch, go and travel for the competitions. Like when I went to Japan, they came to watch. They do try to come and watch every competition if they can. Obviously, it's a little bit tricky at the moment. A lot of competitions don't have audiences. So that's someone live streaming it. We had people live streaming Worlds Just Gone, and Instagram Lives and stuff. So like everyone was tuning in for it. So yeah, it's even if you can't be there, you've at least got ways of like seeing it. Even if the videos are sent to you straight away, but you can't beat obviously like being there. And most competitions they are, and they do love it. And obviously in the parents, like, because it's not just my parents that go. A lot of the time, other parents go. Because we've all been to like competitions since we were younger, the parents look forward to going away with each other, probably more than we look forward to going away with each other. So yeah, it's nice. It's nice to have that sort of backing. It's not just obviously my parents, like our teammates, their parents, they're always like, it's not just cheering for us, it's everyone's cheering for each other. It is one big family, and it's nice to have that when you go away. It's almost like that little piece of home.
That's brilliant. So obviously it sounds like they've instilled a great work ethic in you. How would you see the roles of talent and hard work playing out?
I think some people are naturally talented. That is a given, like 100%, you see it all the time. But in stuff like gymnastics, in stuff that's very, very physically demanding, a lot of the time hard work lasts. I've had some very talented people like I was good when I was younger. I was good. I picked things up quite quickly. But there was people that would have been on top of the world in my age group that if they carried on, they would have been setting world records and everything. But the loss of love for it, and that's the thing. Like, I necessarily wasn't the most talented when I was younger, but I worked hard, and that is that's a quite common thing, actually. Like, some people are naturally talented and they'll win loads of competitions early on, and then all of a sudden just scrap it one day and they're like, oh, I'm done now. Which is it is understandable, because some people do just get bored and they want to look for the next big thing, and if they're winning worlds, internationals every single time, it's basically handed on a plate. I can understand it. I didn't have that. I had to really graft. Like, I think I did worlds 2013 and I came fifth. 14 I came fourth. 15 I finished second. 2017 I crashed, and then the first time I took a gold was 2018. So that's what it took me, 5 worlds to win a gold. And then 19 we took the team gold, and so obviously I think I had that. I constantly had that. I was slowly creeping up towards the medal count, so that was like the next year I'll have it, next year I'll have it. And I think that's good. I think that sort of gave me the work ethic to, all right, in order to do this, I need to do this. In order to be better, I didn't win because of this. I didn't win because of this small little technical errors. So I'll make sure that my difficulty is higher. So if I do make those errors again, they're not as costly. And then it's just obviously growing up in the sport, you do sort of clock the way things are, the way things change. As you get bigger, moves get easier sometimes, because you're a lot stronger to do it. So it's obviously just working with everything. But yeah, definitely I do think obviously talent has a massive part in it, but like in anything, like working hard will more than likely get you the better result.
So what does, obviously you said about people maybe dropping out because maybe it was came too easy to them or the workload was too much, what would an average training week look like for you at the moment?
Things have changed a little bit with me at the moment because of like everything else I'm doing outside the gym. training for stunts, so that takes a lot of my days as well. So at the moment I'm doing 3 to 4 days a week, gymnastics, and that'll be like 3-hour sessions followed by like another hour in the weights gym that I go and do myself, to do like my S&C program and stuff like that. But yeah, so I'm training pretty much every day at the moment, 7 days. Sunday is normally a little bit lighter, but yeah, 7 days a week, just doing various things. So this is probably the fittest I've ever been in my life. Don't get me wrong, I'm exhausted, but coming up to competitions, I can sort of move things around, take the other training days down a little bit. I'm a lot smarter coming up to competitions, in terms of just like looking after myself, making sure I'm fit. And yeah, that's the one thing, rather than going 100% and killing myself off a week before a comp, like I said, that confidence comes into play. I know if I do one routine here, a couple of routines there, I'm feeling great today, I'll do 3 of each run. I'm not feeling so good, I'll just do one, or I'll just do the halves. I'll split my routine in half and just do front end and back end, just to save myself. That is something that I like to do if I'm exhausted, because doing 4 routines every single go, it's fine when you're younger, but then when you start adding more doubles, triples, twists, it kills you off. So yeah, that's something that I have had to learn, is almost just, I'm training a lot, but it's almost just training smart more than absolutely killing myself.
Presumably if you're training 7 days a week, diet and nutrition's really important. How do you sort of work that into your lifestyle?
Day to day, it's always like home cooked meals. I've got my one cheat day, which is my Saturday night pizza. Me and the family sit down, watch a film, have pizza. But then most of the days it's home cooked meals, every night. Lunches pre-packed. I tend to cook standard chicken and rice and stuff. And drinking a lot. I drink a lot of water. I'm not really the strictest, like, on my day to day. As long as I'm getting my calories in, as long as I'm hitting my calorie targets, I'm okay. But in terms of, like, coming up to competition, I am more focused on, like, what's going in, when it's going in, eating before training, eating after training, just making sure that I'm just replenishing everything I need. But it's exhausting to that day after day after day. So I think when I eat well anyway, so as long as I'm, like I said, as long as I'm hitting my calorie targets and stuff, I'm okay. I can feel when I need more. I can feel when I'm doing too much. Last thing I want to do is have, like, a massive meal and then go and flip myself down the track. It's just sort of laying it out based on what I'm going to do in the day.
Presumably you ramp things up leading up to a competition. Do things get a little bit tighter as you come up to it?
Yeah, like I said, in terms of, like, training wise, I'm a lot smarter with my training, because last thing I want to do is kill myself off coming up to the comp. And then obviously, like, looking after myself, I'll tone down some of the weight stuff. It's just almost like I turn myself into maintenance. I'm seeing the physio a lot more, making sure that I'm in good bits and pieces, having, like, massages done, getting physio work. I just almost make sure I'm fit and healthy for the comp. And then the comp day is the same pretty much every single time. Have a good breakfast, get to the arena. I like to sit down for a little bit in the arena. I'm not one of those people that'll, like, rock up, like, half an hour before I'm meant to warm up. I like to sit there for, like, 2 hours, marinate in the arena and just sit and just relax. And then it's nice when you get there early, especially if it's, like, a big competition like British or something, and people are coming from all over the country, and these are people that you don't get to see often. I think it's nice to have that, almost, like, I mean, go and say hello to people without having to, like, run around, and then I can just relax in the back hall until it's my time to warm up. And that's something that I've sort of clocked as I've got older. That's the way I like to compete. So we're all completely different. So some people will get, like, a later bus to the arena. I'm normally there all day just because I like to sit, watch, sort of take my mind away from the competition. Then when it's ready to go, I'm ready to go.
And then is there a bit of a blowout once you've competed and you know that you've got a little bit of time before you get into training again?
Yeah, I normally just, like, sort of take my training down a little bit again. Normally have a week off after a massive comp if I haven't got anything coming up. After Worlds, I went to France for a competition, which wasn't as important. I was competing for a French club, me and one of the lads from the gym, but there wasn't, like, a whole lot of importance riding on it. So that was almost, like, more relaxing wind down. And then after that, we had a bit of time off coming up to Christmas. But yeah, normally it's, like, the week off, just because obviously you're exhausted after, what, the 2-3 weeks of really intense training. And yeah, it's just nice to have that little rest sometimes.
So I know you're just off the back of the Worlds at the end of last year. I think you got, is it a team second
team
place?
Silver, yeah,
silver medal. How was that? How did it go?
It was a very interesting competition. Like I said, there was a lot that was happening. It was the first major competition where all countries were there. We weren't allowed to go to Europeans because of COVID concerns. But the World Championships was the first time, like, all the countries were there, bar Australia, because they weren't allowed out. But yeah, that was it was an interesting team final. Every team final I've done so far, I've gone last, so I can just change my run if I need to. But this one, I went first, just because I knew what I was doing. I knew what pass I was doing the whole time. Like I said, that I'm doing this, I'm sticking to my guns, I know this one's going to work. And I did it. Landing wasn't perfect. I stayed on my feet, but I got a deduction for stepping back on the track. I was a bit low on the landing. There was no way we were beating Russia, which was almost like we accepted that after, as soon as the last guy did his run, we knew that as a fact, because it was perfect. It was like a world record pass. So we were like, you know what, we're happy with the silver. Obviously, we go gunning for gold, and we're happy to walk away with the silver if we needed to. But it was like, that was one of those moments. It was like, we're happy. We're extremely happy. We're not going to look into this. We're not going to sit and analyse our performance. we normally do. We normally sit and go, right, what could have been better? What could have been better? We know what happened. We know what could have been better. I made a little mistake. One of the lads made a little mistake, and the Russians were immaculate. So yeah. It was like, yeah.
Are they often like that, the Russians?
Yeah. There's one lad who has, there's been a bit of a curse with the men's tumbling with the individual final. So, like, it's like a curse. It's just been one of those, like, things that you notice. Whoever wins it that one year, the next year does really bad. Like, they'll make the final, but, like, crashes out. And it's one of those things that, like, it's just been a really weird pattern that we noticed. So Christoph, one of our lads, he won it in 2013. 2014, he had the flu during the final, picked himself up to compete, and that was probably one of the worst competitions he's done.
Right.
It's happened in the past with other people, but the one lad that won in 2019 went on to win it again, and he broke the curse. That was like the one where, like, everyone who sort of knew about it, all the little ones that had just come up, hadn't clocked it, but then, like, we've been around for years, we've known it, and it's like, it's just one of those things that's like, oh, cool, that was more interesting than obviously, like, watching any other comp.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like it's one of those ones. It's, you go to the competition obviously not expecting anything, but you go with the intention of doing the best you can, but like I said, sometimes that's great, other times you will do the best, but other people just do a little bit better.
Is there much interaction with the other countries? Would you talk to the Russian lads or the Americans and stuff like that?
Yeah, so whenever we go away, because we've been seeing these guys for years, the people that we know, we've grown up with in terms of competing, it's obviously speaking to the Russian lads is a lot harder than speaking to, like, the American lads. It's very much just, it's like you've got that mutual respect for everyone. It's a clap is very universal, a nod of the head's very universal. It's, if someone does something amazing, that's, you can't fault it. There's no sort of bad blood. You do see it, like, you see, like, the rivalries and stuff like that in other sports. Friendly rivalries, there's plenty of that, but there's never any, like, really bad blood. I mean, if you have a bad comp, you have a bad comp. If you have a great comp, you have a great comp. You go and congratulate who's won. You all cheer for each other. You all look out for each other. And it's nice to see these people. Sometimes you see them, like, once a year. If you're lucky, 2-3 times. But it's never, like, as often as we see our lads.
You've been doing a lot of work for Sports for Champions, as you mentioned before. Just talk a little bit about going into the schools, and maybe a little bit about some of your interactions with the kids and what you've taken from it, and hopefully what they've taken from it.
Yeah, going into the schools, Sports for Champs, it was an experience. I remember, like, the first one I did was very, I was quite nervous for it, to be honest. Like, I was very confident going into school, speaking in front of people, all that sort of stuff. But I think it was because it was a new environment, a new sort of thing, a new layout. It was something that I sort of had to get used to, but very quickly got used to it. We're doing school since 2019, I believe. That's when I joined. Obviously, there was a period of time where, like, there was nothing on, but I made sure that, obviously, as soon as we could get back to schools, I was there all the time. And yeah, I do really enjoy it. I think when the kids get very, like, when the kids are interactive, asking questions, that's my thing. I love people asking questions. I say to the kids, I've pretty much heard every question you can think of now. So there's no stupid questions. If you think it's anything you have on your mind, any queries, I'll do my best to try and answer it. It's nice to sort of have that. I've had plenty of experiences, good and bad, in my career so far. So if you're just starting up with sports, or you're thinking of getting into it, get a lot of kids that are, I had one lad who was ice skater, and he was England level, and he practically cornered me after one of the sessions, just before I was gone, and just asking me, like, how was my first experience, because he had a squad coming up. And stuff like that, and they're just asking me, like, how was training, and yeah, just sat and had a little chat, like, in terms of, and I think that sort of, if even if it's two completely different worlds, it sort of gives you that I've done plenty of squads. I remember exactly what my first one was like. I was petrified. So it's just almost having that little ease to go into it. Everyone experiences the same thing. I don't know anyone who wasn't nervous on the first competition. But then obviously as you get older, the more confident you get, those nerves sort of like the change, they don't affect you as bad as they used to.
I know one of the questions you ask the most is sort of advice for people looking to get into a sport right at the ground level. Could you share a bit of that with us today?
I think probably the best thing for that is obviously just giving it your all. Go in, if that's something you want to do, obviously make it a routine. With stuff like gymnastics, you have to like build the motor memories, all that sort of stuff, muscle memory. And because it's obviously like, as you get to the slightly higher levels, a lot of it is like your awareness in the air and stuff. So developing those at an early age, or not an early age, developing those constantly and quickly will help you out massively. So yeah, if there's something you want to do, just throw yourself into it, and don't be disheartened if it's not the sport for you. Like, I've done so many sports in my life, I throw myself into everything. But then it just happened that gymnastics was the main one for me. But I do say this in my assemblies as well. I will say, like, there is a sport for everyone, and whether it's the one that you think, one you're not. I've had mates that started off doing basketball and they were county rugby players, play for England. It's like all of a sudden it can switch. I did so much when I was younger, but then obviously always end up bringing me back to gymnastics. So yeah, it's one of those ones where, like, if you wanna do something, if you wanna give it a go, whether that's gymnastics, football, rugby, basketball, anything, give it your all, and don't be disheartened if you have a bad day, because I've had plenty of them.
Yeah, I think it's the same across all sport and life more generally. Can you talk maybe a little bit about what Sports for Champion has done for you? I know it helps you out with some sort of training costs and things like that, and equipment and uniform and things like that. Just a little bit about that, please.
Yeah, Sports Champs has helped massively. In terms of funding and like getting paid and stuff, that's another question I always get asked. I don't receive a salary for doing gymnastics. We all almost like refer to it as a glorified hobby. It's obviously just something that we love, and the reason why we do it is because we love it. But now that I'm a senior, certain competitions are funded. But like when I was a junior, and then like even a lot of the competitions now nationally aren't funded. Kit costs a lot, leotards are quite expensive. Lads are considerably cheaper than the girls, but the girls' leotards can be, like, in terms of like GB leotards, can be £100 a piece, if not more. So obviously having that back in from Sports for Champs does give me that little bit of, obviously, like the free way to, I know I can do this, I know I can get that. It helps me obviously travelling to training, travelling to and from squads, being able to stay at squads and stuff like that, because we've got to pay for squads as well. So it does help like massively, more than I realised it would at first, because training fees, all that sort of stuff, it all adds up at the end of the day. And it's something that obviously if I want to keep training, that's something that I needed help with and received help.
That's great. Well, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure as always.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, and we'll see you again soon for some more Sports for Champions fun. Hi guys, hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you did, be sure to leave us a like and a subscribe, and check out all our other videos for some more great interviews and content. Bye.